section. We're going to continue in the Pelayoitz on page 49. If someone could please give in the last grand gesture of Akar Satoiv to Michal, if someone could give Michal a copy of the Pelayoitz, it would be tremendously a big thing for him. Umiklal Moira Beis HaKnesses. We're speaking about the Indian of respecting and comporting yourself properly in a Beis HaKnesses. We spoke about at length yesterday the distinction between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses is a place which is miyuad, which is specifically designated for praying, for davening, as opposed to a Beis HaMedrash is specifically designated for a place of learning. Now, theoretically, could you have both happening in those places? Yes, but what's the Iker designation? The Iker designation of Beis HaKnesses. So he's saying within the world of Beis HaKnesses, umiklal moira Beis HaKnesses, within the general rubric of how we're supposed to have respect and reverence for a shul, shulayitein sham bekoyle kol az afilu likro yishum adam, that a person should not speak in very strong and very harsh tones and strong, loud tones in a Beis HaKnesses. Daniel, it's only a Beis HaKnesses, not a Beis HaMedrash. Oy, limchois bayar acherim. Ha'oisim shlekoyegin. Or, for example, to speak, when you're calling somebody, you know, there's a thing of like, there's a certain level of sensitivity the person should have not to like yell across the house. Right? You know, you ever had this before? I don't know, maybe some houses are a little bit more wild and really exactly, right? I have a general thing in my house. I don't like yelling across the house. If I'm in the kitchen, and we're not, I don't live in a big house. You imagine if I lived in a big house. But I live, you know, in a maybe 80 square meter apartment. So I'm in the kitchen. My wife is in the room. If she needs to call me, I said either call me on my phone or come to me. But don't yell across the house.
I also don't like that.
Oh, wow, amazing. And therefore, it's so too also in a Beis HaKnesses. So that's why also too in a Beis HaKnesses, that level of hakpada, because it's crass. It's just it could bother people. It's annoying. It's just not a place where you call, hey buddy, how are you? It's just not a place, not a hanhaga toiva that person should do. Again, a lot of these sensitivities, the reason why this is called sensitive is because the same way that my hand is calloused, so I don't feel it. So someone who is not as calloused will feel the touch a little bit stronger. That's what sensitivity is. So too, it's like explaining color to a blind person. If you don't have that sensitivity, then you're not really going to understand it. But a person has to understand the principle is that it is not appropriate and it is not the place to yell loudly, strongly in a Beis HaKnesses. Again, maybe it's in terms of davening, if it's in relation to davening, you know, you have certain chassidim that are very like mamish shy, but they scream and they yell and they shout during davening. But he's talking about in an informal manner, or especially outside the context of davening. Or for example, he says limchis biyad acher moisim shleikolgin. Or for example, give people somebody musr, right? This feed Yitzchak is that not to give people musr in an intense manner in shul. Elish tzarich ledaber yelach et somvi daber lem belachash b'dam siach kovid roish behech lamelach. Go over to them. Speak to them directly, face to face, and speak to them in a very calm and respectful tone. The ayin roy eich oimdim b'fnei sari ha'aretz. Can you imagine? You had a Buckingham Palace. I heard somebody that had the schus. I don't know. He had the schus because it's a bracha to say on the queen to say shechalak kavod elagoyim, right? That you are able to say the bracha on Malchus. This person went to meet the queen, and there's like a whole hachana. What they tell you is like hours and hours of classes you have to take. In order to just simply, like to go to like a royal function, I should say more specifically. There's, you can't put your hand out to the queen, you can't touch the queen. There's a lot of rules how you deal with Malchus, how you comport yourself in the actual Beis HaMelech itself, in the palace. There's a certain way that a person responds and reacts and comports himself when they're in such a vaunted environment. You have to be very careful and very self-aware what you're doing. Something else he says, pay attention when somebody goes to a function, they're very hyper aware of how they're acting, how they're responding, where they're moving, where they're standing. It's not just, you just walk in, you go, you decide, here you go. He says, very interesting, the Kudir. Even Goyim, if you go to a mass, you go to a Sunday mass, the way that they relate to prayer is very different than sometimes, unfortunately, that we have developed. Again, a certain heimishkeit that how we could you imagine going? Do Muslims have the concept? I'm asking for anybody that's listening. Do Muslims have the concept of a shtibl? You go to a Beis Yisrael shtibl in Meir Sharm, right? You go to the Beis Yisrael, or you go to the Meir Sharm shtibl, right? Or you go to any of these like type of shtiblach davening where it's they have a davening which could be 25 minutes to half an hour. You go in, go out. Yeah, you chop what you can. You go out. Do Muslims have that? No.
At an airport.
Why?
At an airport.
They go in. They go because they're like traveling. That's what you need to do. But the concept of like a zuchah moshe. Is anybody familiar with zuchah moshe here? Zuchah moshe and gula. You go. You mamash. You go there, and it's like. You know, I think it was. Oh, Shalom Sadran. He said, yeah. If you need a minyan at any hour of the day, you can find a minyan there. You can find a shacharis at 3 a.m. You can find a ma'ariv at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's mamish. It's all over the place. So Shalom Sadran. He said in Yiddish. He said in Zorcha Moshe, a guy can go in a nishke davened. He says, a guy can go in that he didn't daven and come out that he did daven, but I have no idea what he did in between. Because again, this idea of like, again, I understand we're in a rush, we have things going on. Halacha takes that idea into account. But like the idea of a quick version of davening, it seems to be a little bit funny. And a guy walking back and forth and this and that, bumping into here. You don't have that. There's no such thing as a Sunday Mass where, oh yeah, I didn't chop the 6 o'clock Sunday Mass. Okay, I'll get to 7:30, but I'll come in at 7:45 because I'll skip the psuki the Mass, right? And then I'll get in, then I'll chop the Ishtabach, and then I'll be able to get the Shemana. And then, or you have this thing also. I had a lot of friends who used to do this in the old city. They used to go to the Kaisel, to the Western Wall. And by the Western Wall, by the Kaisel, how many minyanim are there at one time? Sometimes it can be like 25, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they call it minion hopping. Mayor, you never did this before, right? You hop one minion to the next. You can do this in davening, right? You start with one, you hop a little bit of Pesukah Dezirma. Then you hop a little bit of the Kriya Shema. Then you hop a little bit of Kriya Satar, because too much Kriya Satar. That's already, who has patience for that? Then you hop a little bit of, and if it's Rosh Chodesh, you hop a little bit of the Hallel. Then you hop a little bit of the Kriya Satar. And then, until eventually you somehow daven the Musaf, and then boom, you're ready to make Kiddush. Can you imagine? But that you sit down, exactly. That you sit down for, but Kivud Rosh Gadol. Could you imagine? Do Muslims have anything like this? I have no idea.
What's the point?
The point is that I don't want to speak, I don't like to judge too intensely. I like to bring you strong examples, but I don't like to say, well, that is wrong. But it's something which is mechayev us to think about. Hey, It's important to think about that. You know, there's a halacha that the Magen Avraham brings down. That if there is something that a guy thinks is inappropriate, then it actually has a definition of Chilul Hashem. Again, it can be taken very, very intensely if you know what that means.
Wow.
What does that mean? That if, for example, there's a Rabbi Yosef Berger, who's a rabbi in Baltimore. He's a big shul, and the shul there does not have a clock. And when they built the shul, a lot of people were complaining, how come there's no clock? And he got up in a drasha once, and he said, the reason why there's no clock in my shul is because when I was building the shul, the contractor, in looking at the whole building, and on the original architecture plans, the clock was going to be on the side wall of the shul. And he looks at me, the non-Jewish Catholic contractor looks at me and says, a clock in a temple, in a sanctuary? I've never heard of that before. Apparently, again, I'm only basing it off what he said.
Wow.
Apparently, a lot of goyim don't have clocks in their temples and sanctuaries. What's the idea? Because when you're coming into a place to pray,
you should have time.
A place. Now, again, Judaism is funny like that because and it's beautiful. And we'll have the advice from them because we have Zivzman, exactly, of Alois. Time is, but we can't become slaves to time. And more specifically, we cannot allow time to stop us from doing the very thing they're doing. Because the guy, why is it that a guy says, oh, I have to get to work at 9 and I need to be able to dive in, so okay, I'll hop a little bit of a minute here and then I'll be. The idea is that, he said, based off his Magen Avraham, I felt it was usher to have a clock in the shul because it would be a chil Hashem in his eyes. That if we would do it, again, you have to know exactly what that means. It's a very specific halacha, which I'm not going to go into the details of it right now.
That's weird enough.
But, yeah, you okay? But the idea is that a person should understand that there are certain things that people may not understand, may not be able to appreciate, and it could be viewed as a chil Hashem. And therefore, says the Pelayoyitz, that someone... That if you go to a non-Jewish temple, look at the way that they appreciate davening. Look at the way that they sit with a level of kavod, ube'emu ube'yira, vein emes. We have these Yetzirahs that are trying to get, again, it obviously makes sense because Goyim don't have a Yetzirah by davening. We do. So it makes sense that we have developed these maybe less respectful ways of davening.
I don't think Christians pray.
What? What are you talking about? They have some of them pray daily mass. Some of them go to daily mass, what we call chakras. Yeah, listen, I'm not listening. Avachoyvas gavra asher hu Yehudi imami behuna shleima beyitzis Hashem melech noyer v'oyim v'chol makom meloi cholaris kevoyder ubiyoyser mizgal harasa behashrasa shchinas v'elach hakadosh v'hu mishkiach al kol derech b'nei adam las es leish kedracha v'meshalem afil asicha kala im latoy v'im lamutav hayom lasoyser l'machol lekabus chav oynish ubiyad ha'adam lachoyf es yitzur v'chach hi chayvasoy v'chach noy loy v'zel chol adam. Asher ish yoris Hashem, praises one who fears God. So for sure, all the more so in a place of worship of Hashem. All the more so, not to speak, shchulim with your friend. He says even to such an extent, there's some of gedolei rishonim. This is very interesting thing. He said, even some people were makbid not to even speak the Torah in a Beis HaKnesses. Not even to speak the Torah in a shul. Why? Because people, chas v'sham, said they wouldn't think that they're shmoozing. Such an idea. Even if they're talking the Torah. We spoke about this idea, the halacha, that during Kriyas HaTorah, it's for sure aser. And when I say during Kriyas, I mean even being gavra la gavra, between one aliyah and the next, it's aser to speak, even during Meshabeach, it is aser to speak. It is aser to shmooz for sure, and even b'divrei Torah, says the halacha. Because Shema Yimashech, because you may come to eventually talk in the middle of the brachas, in the middle into the Kriya. And by the way, the brachas, why are the brachas there? To be mitzvah you in the Kriya, right? Not just the other person, it's mitzvah you in the Kriya. So if you're missing the bracha, then you're not, in a sense, it's lacking. Okay.
That's like a gather. But if you didn't amish mamish miss the bracha, and it's still...
It is not appropriate. It's not the right thing to do.
It shouldn't be done.
It's not the right thing to do. Rabbi, it should be careful. The best of your abilities. It should be normal also.
It's
good to see you. Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you noticed that, okay?
Because at the end of the day, that we know this idea that once someone's commanded to do something...
Okay.
That it makes it much harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes it much harder.
Right.
Other religions, except for Judaism.
Yeah, there's only one. Yeah.
No.
Wait, he's not. He didn't finish his question. Yeah.
Thing is, any other religion, if you either you choose to be it, or if you don't want to be, you're not it.
Okay.
So therefore, I don't like the comparison. Look how they do it. They don't have. I know we mentioned the Yetzer Hara, but I don't like the comparison Machlau because.
Because why?
Because at the end of the day, they're not commanded to. They're constantly choosing to do it. No. If you don't want to be Christian, if you don't want to be Christian,
and Muslim is doing a mitzvah or raisa, and Muslim is doing a bracha.
I hear what you're saying. There definitely is an aspect of kfiyah, as in to say that we're forced in religion.
Yeah,
but the challenge of a frum Jew is to relate to Yiddishkeit that you're not forced. Well, and that is the obligation. What? Okay, I hear. It's a chilek, but it's not machalik. It doesn't make a distinction ultimately at the end of the day that the way that if they have an approach.
But look at the way that they're being so.
They have a reverence.
They don't have what we have. They don't have the commandment. They don't have the Yetzirah. But
it does mean that they have a certain base idea of, hey, if it's a holy thing, holy things should be treated well. Of Noira, of covet, of Moira to
say.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not getting involved in that. And fine, yes. The idea only is. And by the way, it's not necessarily a Jewish versus not Jewish thing. It's actually, I mean, if you see it by the Reform or conservative, I mean, there's a lot of psychological reasons behind it. But the idea is that they, because this is like their only religious thing they do, and they maybe it's also carbon copying what the Goyim do. They treat it like this very holy reverence moment that they're coming in and they're right. They're saying right, exactly. This idea of like having no, it's in like the Reformed temple. Where like they have such a respect for the services. Again, I think it's a beautiful. And if you want to look at it from a Levi Yitzchak or Barditchev way, is I think dafka because we're so heimish by it and it's so much a part of our lives that the same way it's like you don't talk to your brother with aim of a euro pacha, because we live with our brother, right? You live with your parents. Okay, and the idea is that since we're so close to it, but there is still a point of working on that idea, which is that, well, at least the lowest common denominator base idea is not to schmooze, right? Not to schmooze about stocks and politics and Trump and shtiyot that goes on and what happened, who won the Mets game and the Yankees game. That's not Torah. That's not religiosity. That's not spirituality. And the idea is that when a goy or someone who is not in the quote unquote high mishnah world, they understand that if something is of a religious spiritual value, then it means that you don't do it. Again, we said before the contractor that said a clock in a sanctuary, how does it make any sense? To him, it was pashut moving me'ilav. I told the story. If you didn't hear, I'll tell it over again afterwards. But that it was pashut moving me'ilav. That, what are you talking about? A sanctuary should not be a place where you're constantly worried about. Okay, when do I need to leave or not? Again, we spoke about the nekuda. That of course we have zman, and we have to know when things are happening.
A good point.
Oh, thank you.
Whenever
yeah.
The clock is off by half a minute.
Anyway, b'kitzur ha'maisa. Hatzlacha shabarabu.